we had a family meeting, and we had two plans with our attorney and our accountant. We had two plans. One was, how do we fight it? How much do we spend to fight it? And the other plan was, where do we move when they take it? And so the girls went out and started looking for ranches, and then we started fighting.
Steve Wooten lives in Los Animas County and raises cattle on a ranch that's been in his family for over a century. In 1983, the Army used eminent domain to take a portion of Steve's land as part of the newly created Pinyon Canyon Maneuver Site, a 235,000-acre training area for Fort Carson.
And we did lose some land, but very little. It was on the west side of the Purgatory. Fast forward to 2006, and we started hearing rumblings out of Colorado Springs, and a leaked map came into the possession of the ranchers, and it showed over a 20-some-year phase that there'd be an expansion that takes in the entire southeast quarter of the state of Colorado.
In 2007, the Army proposed to acquire 418,000 more acres of land. But the leaked map showed that the Army's long-term expansion plans were far greater, with eyes on a land area as big as Massachusetts or Maryland in the southeast corner of the state. Understandably, many ranchers felt betrayed by the Army, who, in the 80s, had promised that it would never expand the site. This time around, many, like Steve, vowed to do everything they could to stay on their land.
Shortly after the map came into possession, we had a meeting at Kim with all the ranchers. And at that meeting, we decided, several of us had gone to council, attorneys, and said, what do we do? And we were advised to not try to go big, but try to go grassroots. And so we formed the Pinyon Canyon Expansion Opposition Coalition out of grassroots.
Over the next 6 years, the Pinyon Canyon Opposition Coalition and a sister organization, Not One More Acre, launched a campaign against the expansion of the maneuver site, and it was wildly successful. In 6 years of fighting, they gained overwhelming support from state Congress and won a campaign to ban further funding for expansion. But to the ranchers, it didn't always feel like their struggle would have a happy ending.
People told us, you're gonna lose. You need to get serious and go find you a ranch. You're gonna lose. And if you stay at this, you're gonna burn the money out of your ranch.
When I became involved, my rationalization wasn't, we can beat this. It was, I will not forgive myself if I lose this piece of land without fighting.
That's Grady Grissom. He lives just west of La Junta on a ranch that he's been on since 1995. I asked him why he thought the opposition was so successful.
One of the great strengths of the coalition was that the whole issue became nonpartisan. We drew from both sides of the aisle.
Doug Holdred, an art professor who lives in Trinidad, was one of many non-landowners on the coalition.
You know, here I am, this sort of anti-war artist guy, but they recognized pretty quickly that I had something to contribute. So the archaeological community got involved, naturalists of all sorts, ecologists, property rights got involved, peace and justice community got involved. So there was this incredibly diverse coalition that took shape.
The diversity of the group meant a diversity of tactics. The ranchers filed lawsuits, reached out to the press, and attended scoping meetings in droves. Doug created an art trailer filled with paintings of Pinyon Canyon, which he toured around the state to garner support for the opposition.
I think often there's an advantage in not knowing what you're doing, because you're not in the box in a way that you have to figure out how to get out of the box with your thinking. So, I mean, nobody knew how to do this thing. So it was kind of like there weren't any crazy ideas. Well, like at one point I thought, let's do a cattle drive and just haul a bunch of cattle up to Fort Carson and have a cattle drive down the road to the entrance and deliver our petitions at the gate. And I mean, it was a terrible idea. Somebody probably would have gotten hurt, but they listened to it very carefully and they explained to me, you know, why they didn't think that would probably work.
Unlike in the 80s when the Army used eminent domain to acquire land, this time around, they were relying on people who were willing to sell them their property.
There's a different cultural context there, and that was a lot of their misunderstanding when they were trying to sell their case about they're living in poverty out there, they're out of grass, they're in a drought, they'd be happy to leave.
Yet perhaps the greatest strength of the movement was that among the ranchers within the proposed expansion site, there was not one willing seller. Here's Grady again.
One of the things that the coalition did very effectively was negotiate as a group and not allow the Army to single people out and either tell them, and this is what they did in 1983, tell them, you know what, your neighbors are all selling, you just well sell. And if they don't sell, we're going to condemn them anyhow. Best thing you can do is just let's sit down, we'll work out a reasonable deal.
I asked Steve, how did the coalition get all of the landowners to agree not to sell their land?
We didn't have to do anything, Sarah. That's the nature of people living off the land and caring for the land and wanting to see your legacy passed on to the next generation. And you can't be that dedicated, multi-generational, that dedicated to it without having your heart in it.
If you're on the outside looking in at the issue, you might think, you know, well, land is land. If they get paid for their land, they can just go buy some more land somewhere else and you know, do their ranching business there. But that's not how it is, because this is land that they were born on, that their ancestors were born on. I mean, they have a very deep, deep sense of identity with the land.
As a sort of generality, the people that live out here and go through what this environment puts on you, which can be pretty tough, they choose to do it and they love it. And making a living off that piece of land is sort of their American dream.
Everyone I spoke with expressed a great sense of pride at having been involved.
Being a member of the coalition has been, you know, and will be one of the neatest things I ever do.
I think it's been one of the best experiences of my life as far as discovering the humanity of people that sort of ideologically are different, in some cases pretty opposite from me.
I couldn't be prouder of the people that I got to serve with. We survived drought, we survived snows, we survived. If we're taken off here, we'll land on our feet.
People are calling it the Pinyon Canyon model. They're referring to the strength that the opposition gained by drawing upon the talents of people from an array of political backgrounds. For those still living in the southeast corner of Colorado, however, the fight isn't over. The coalition remains alert. Fort Carson recently announced that it plans to train drones and helicopters outside of the bounds of the maneuver site. But today, we remember this grassroots movement, which was able to achieve what at times seemed impossible. Steve and the others will continue to protect their land and their way of life. They don't plan on surrendering anytime soon. For KRCC and State of the Rockies, I'm Sarah Stockdale.